thought I would just speak to us briefly about some choices and people who made some choices in Scripture. You have to forgive me for my laptop. I've got some IT problems and I couldn't get it on my iPad. So there are a number of people in the Bible who made choices, and we of course all have choices to make. Every day we make choices in our life. We have to make a choice whether to come here or not come here. We have to make a choice whether we want to read our Bible and learn from it or not. And we all make choices constantly. Then there are times in our lives when we make some bigger choices. Bigger choices about education, and bigger choices about work and employment, and bigger choices about marriage and partners and buying houses and all sorts of things we make choices about. But of course the Bible would tell us that one of the most important choices that we make is the choice we make to have a relationship with God and where we stand before God in terms of our position with Him. So I would like to go through some examples of people in Scripture who made choices that we can learn some lessons for. The first one is in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, and we'll read verses 1 to 13. Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapter 13, and we'll read verses 1 to 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld, and all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one another. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot was a young man at this point in time in his life, and he had been travelling with Abraham, his uncle. They'd been down in Egypt and they'd come back, and God had prospered them. And they had, we read that they had flocks and herds and tents. Both Abraham and Lot would have been wealthy men at that time. But of course we read that there was a strife between their herdsmen. Now their herds were very important to them. And Abraham took the view that he gave the choice to Lot. He was very gracious. We heard yesterday at the conference, he was very gracious. Really, Lot should have deferred to Abraham as the older man. But it was the other way around, and Abraham said to Lot, You choose. If you choose to the right hand, I'll go to the left. If you choose to the left, I'll go to the right. You have the choice where you can go. And of course, Lot looked on the well-watered plain of Jordan. And he saw that would be good for him to bring up his cattle and to breed his cattle in. And it would be an easier life there than perhaps the desert side that Abraham went to. He also said it was like Egypt. You know, one of the things in the Bible that we learn about is actions always have consequences. And of course it was Abraham that actually took Lot to Egypt. And Lot remembered that this area looked like Egypt, and he was attracted to it. So there was obviously a part of Egypt that still attracted Lot and drew him back to it. We do have to remember, as I said, and I'll repeat it, that our actions have consequences, particularly when we're dealing with younger people as well. We see then that Lot progressed. In chapter 13 it says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. In chapter 14 it says he dwelt in Sodom. And in chapter 19 we see he was sitting in the gate. In other words, he was part of the government of that city. He wanted a life of ease, but he didn't get a life of ease. It bothered him, that city, where so much sin happened and so much sin was going on. And of course, God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, as we read in the passage. Although Lot made some bad decisions in his life and bad choices, Peter would record, of course, that he was righteous. And he was righteous, and it did bother him in that city. But he put his roots down in the wrong place, and he made some bad decisions. We as young, if there's younger Christians here, they have to be very careful in the choices that they make in life. We all have to be careful in the choices we make in life. You know, the Bible would tell us that we should seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. The Bible says that we should seek him while we're young. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with your Christian journey, whether you have sought the Lord, whether you are young or not. But if you haven't, we all have choices to make. Lot made a bad choice. He chose to settle. See, we are pilgrims and strangers, the Bible would tell us. As believers, we are not meant to settle here. Lot made a bad choice. He settled in Sodom and Gomorrah, a place where there was so much sin. He made a bad choice with his choice of wife as well, and that ended up costing him dearly. Here was a man who ended up losing everything. As that message plays out, as the story plays out in the book of Genesis, Lot, because he made these choices, ended up losing his house. He lost any business he had. He lost his wife. He lost the respect of his family and his own self-respect and self-esteem. He lost everything in the end. Why? Because he chose to settle. There's a lesson for us there, I think, as we make choices in our life. We have to decide what we're going to do. It would have been so easy for him to have made other choices. But he decided to take a life of ease, not rock the boat, get the easy life. Ended up being drawn in to this sinful place and a sinful life all around him, which affected his family, and all because he made a bad choice. As I said, we have choices to make. We have to be very careful how we make those choices. We'll move on and read about someone else who made a choice in the Old Testament as well, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verses 13 to 15. And I have given you a land for which you did not labour, and cities which you have built not, and you dwelt therein, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Joshua was an old man. He continued, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, of course, by now was an older man. We thought of Lot, who was a young man. Joshua now was an older man. He was 110 when he died, and he had a very spectacular life. He was a spy, of course. He went in to spy out the land. He was a general, a leader of people, and a leader of armies. He had fought many battles, and he had made many big decisions in his life. I guess the challenge is, here's a man who could look back on his life and had done many things. And as we challenge and look at our life, in the service of God, as we look back, what service are we engaged in? Here was a man, Joshua, who was engaged actively in service for God and doing things to please God. And it's a challenge to us, I think, that as we look at this man briefly tonight, an older man, and the choices he made to make. He said, it says here, when he was putting out, speaking to the people, choose you this day who you will serve. They were serving either the gods which your father served, or the gods of the Amorites. It was a deliberate choice, he said. He said, as for me, this was not some random last minute decision on the spur of the moment. As for me, it was a deliberate choice. He was making it very clear that this choice was a deliberate choice for him. Not only was it deliberate, it was a direct sphere of influence. He says, and my house, this was a choice that he was making that was going to affect his whole life and those that surrounded him. As for me and my house, but it was a definitive choice, we will serve the Lord. I wonder, has everyone here made that choice to serve the Lord? What do I mean by that? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and died to save us. We have choices to make. As we stand, we're all on a broad road. As we stand, we're all heading to a lost eternity. Unless we have made a choice to choose the Lord Jesus Christ, and for a definite choice to accept that when he died on the cross at Calvary, he died for our sins. He died to pay the price for us. We have deliberate choices to make. If we don't make the choice, we will continue on that broad road. We will never go onto the narrow road. The end thereof, the Bible tells us, is death and destruction. Here's Joshua. He chose to serve. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I wonder if we've made that choice. As an old man, we can look back and say, we've made the choice to serve the Lord. So Lot, he chose to settle. But Joshua, a young man, Joshua, an old man, he chose to serve. We'll now move to the New Testament and just think the ladies think they're getting an easy night of it. We'll look at Mary in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that's the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary chose the good part. So if Lot chose to settle, and Joshua chose to serve, Mary, she chose to sit at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. It's an interesting family that we move into, and we get a little cameo of this household in Bethany, which held a special place to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a place he often went to and obviously felt at home there. It was a family that made him feel at home in their house. But we see a situation where he came into the house and Martha was cumbered about. She was trying to imagine if you had the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples came to your house and you were having to prepare. I'm quite sure that you'd be a bit flustered as well, especially if your sister wasn't helping you with the serving and the catering arrangements. But Mary, we never read much about Mary, but every time we read about her, she's at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. In Luke chapter 10, she's sitting there learning. In John chapter 11, she's at his feet weeping. In John chapter 12, she's at his feet worshipping, where she anointed her Lord. The anointment that she put on him in John chapter 12 affected others, and it attracted criticism. You know, if we choose to sit and learn at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet, it will affect others, and it may attract criticism. But she was willing to sit at his feet. Martha had lost sight of what she was really should be doing. She said to the Lord, you know, do you not care? Of course the Lord Jesus Christ cared. Her spiritual perception, the spiritual perception that Mary had, Martha had been clouded over because she was so busy with the things of life. You know, we're busy with the things of life, and quite often we end up getting our spiritual perception gets clouded over. Mary sat there. She had a godly exercise. And it was a costly exercise for her as she sat at the Lord's feet time and time again. You know, and if we are planning to do that, it will be a costly exercise. We have to be organized and prepared. We have to be sanctified. We have to separate ourselves and examine ourselves so that we are clean. We have to be presentable to the Lord as we sit at his feet and seek to learn from him. You know, so often life is busy, and so often other things cloud into our life and we end up not making the right decisions. Martha was not doing anything wrong other than the way that she challenged her sister for not helping her. But Mary chose to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ rather than be busied about with all the things of life. You know, we've got busy lives, every one of us here. But we should never be too busy to ignore the fact that we need to sit at the feet of the one who died to save us. We need to sit at his feet and learn of him. Despite the busy lives that we live, we have to sit there and learn of him. I wonder if we do it. I wonder if we really, and how often we really sit at his feet, figuratively, and learn of him. You know, there's a lesson that Martha had to be taught. The Lord Jesus Christ was very kind in his rebuke to her, but it was a lesson that she had to be taught. And she had to be told that Mary has chosen the good thing. Her choice was to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ rather than be busy with the hustle and bustle of daily life. I wonder if that's a choice we've made, to sit at his feet and learn of him. The final one I want to speak about tonight is in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. So Lot, he chose to settle. Joshua, he chose to serve. Mary, she chose to sit. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. In this famous chapter, this hall of faith as it's sometimes called, when it goes through and recounts the faith of so many great men, we read in verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." Here's a man who chose, made a definite choice, and his choice was to suffer. Suffer affliction rather than have the life of ease like Lot chose. We read six things that he did here. He refused honor. He chose affliction. He esteemed reproach. He looked to the reward. He forsook Egypt. He left that life behind him. And he kept the Passover. He was honouring to God. You know, Moses had a very privileged upbringing. First of all, he was brought up by his own mother. And then he had a palace education. The best education that could be given to him at that time. And yet, he chose to walk away from that, to become a herdsman in the wilderness. And he ended up to do God's will, went back into Egypt and led the people from Egypt out. We're studying that in the Bible study. And during that time of leading the people, the children of Israel, out from Egypt, across the Red Sea and wandering in the wilderness, for 40 years, he had confrontation in front of him. The people were ungrateful. They were disobedient. And at the end of all that, he didn't even get entry into the promised land. He needed strength for this choice that he made. He had strength from those around him. Remember on the top of that hill, the first battle they had against the Amalekites. And he held up his hands on top of the hill. But he had the help of the Holy Spirit as well. You know, you have choices to make. And if you make a choice to stand for Jesus Christ and of him as Lord of your life, you will suffer if you stand for him. You will have confrontation. People will be ungrateful and confrontational with you. Moses made a choice. It was a hard choice, I'm sure. It wasn't a light choice. He could have stayed in the palace there and had a life of ease. But rather than that, I mean, he was there for 40 years, remember? It wasn't something that he made as a young man. 40 years he made that decision to leave that life behind and make a decision that was going to mean he was going to suffer. We read here that Moses chose to suffer affliction with his own people rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, the Bible is very clear, and the book of Romans is very clear about how we have choices to make. Romans 3 and 23 tells us very clearly we are separated from God by our sin. It says that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. So there is a gulf fixed between God and man because of that sin. And you say, well, how did that happen? Well, that happened because of Adam. The sin back in the Garden of Eden, right at the beginning of time, has been passed generation by generation down to all people, me and you all included. We, by nature, are separated from God by sin. All have sinned, and we all have fallen short of God's standard. There is only one way we can get back to God, and we have to make choices before we can do that. You see, the result of the sin, God cannot ignore sin. God is a God who hates sin but loves the sinner. Romans 6 and 23 would tell us very clearly that the wages of sin, the payment that we get for our sin, is death. Death and separation from God, not only for time but for all eternity. You know, each of us have a never-dying soul. The body goes into the ground, but the soul lives on forever. The Bible is very clear about that, that we have a never-dying soul. The body, the soul lives on forever, and it goes to one of two destinations, heaven or hell. Romans 6 tells us very clearly that the wages of sin, if we do not deal with the question of sin in our life, that the wages for that, the payment for that, is death and separation from God, our never-dying soul for all eternity. But that verse also tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Romans would tell us as well that not only are we separated from God by our sin, and not only is there a punishment by God for sin, but there's a provision by God to deal with our sin. Romans 5 and 8 tells us very clearly that God demonstrates his love towards us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's each and every one of us. What a great message this is that we have. What a great message the Bible has to tell us, that there is provision by God that takes account not just of part of our sin, but all of our sin. Because God loves us so much, he gave his son to die on the cross at Calvary. That his love was that while we were yet sinners, there was nothing for us to attract God and demand that he did it. But he did it because he loved us. Do you realize that God really loves you? Loves you so much that he gave his only son to die for us. And yet, Christ died on the cross. Romans 10 and 9 would tell us how we avail ourselves of this. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You know, you have a choice to make. Everyone here has a choice to make tonight. We've read about people in the Bible who had choices. We read about Lot, a young man, who chose a life of ease and chose to settle in that well-watered plains of Jordan with disastrous effect. We read about a Joshua, a mighty man who fought many battles for God, who chose to serve God, made a definite choice for him and his family that they were going to out and out serve God. We read about Mary in the New Testament there, a woman who chose to sit at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet and learn of him and appreciate him and worship him, sitting at his feet. And we read about a Moses who made a definite choice, who chose, and the choice he made meant he was going to suffer. You know, the life of being a Christian is not a life of ease. It's not easy. And if you make the choice to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you may be called to suffer. You may be called to suffer. Your family may not be happy about it. Your friends, your work colleagues may not be happy about it. There may be a price to pay, but the price you pay will be nothing compared to the price that the Lord Jesus Christ paid to purchase your salvation on the cross at Calvary. He paid for it in his blood because he died that we might live. So we've been separated from God by our sin, passed down generation from generation. God will punish that if it's not dealt with, if we don't make a definite choice to choose the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. But God has made a provision for us in the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says God demonstrates, he showed forth his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, we had nothing to attract him to us. While we were yet sinners, as I said, he hates sin, but he loves the sinner so much that he gave his Son to die for us. We have to accept him. We have a choice to make, like these people had choices to make that we've read about in the Bible today. These people all made choices, and the choices had consequences. We have a choice to make. We have to choose whether we're going to accept this offer of salvation that is given by God to us to deal with the question of our sin. We have a choice to make. Are we going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we going to reject and say, no, it's not for me? I trust that as we have considered briefly tonight some people from the Bible who made choices and taken the challenge to ourselves that we have choices to make in our life. The biggest choice and the biggest decision we can make in our life is to choose Christ. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. That's the choice that each and every one of us have to make. Lot, he chose to settle. Joshua chose to serve. Mary chose to sit. Moses chose to suffer. What will your choice be? As you review your life, your Christian life, and as you review your relationship with God, knowing what he has done for us, the provision he's made for us, what choice will you make?